Welcome to the Thrive Vineyard Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Kevin Kiefer. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit thrivevineyard.com.
Good morning. How are you doing, everybody? Good to be with you guys this morning. So glad that you are here. If we haven't met, my name is Kevin, and I am really, really blessed to be with you guys. And actually, I shared the message I'm going to share with you now at our early service, and I left that service happier than when I showed up. It just made me appreciate you guys, so I expect to be full of appreciation of you at the end of this time. But I don't know, has anybody here ever taken an aptitude test at any point in your life? Have you had to do that? Like when I was in high school, I don't know if that's a new thing or an old thing, but when I was in high school, I might have been like a, I don't know if I was a senior or a junior, but when I was in high school, I was all about making the money. Like I wanted to be a rich man. And so my only interest in a career was whatever could garner the biggest paycheck. You know, that's what I thought was going to be the thing for me. And so my social studies teacher or somebody made us take this aptitude test. And at the end of the test, it gave you three careers that you would be good at. And I saw the list of careers, and there was like engineers were making a ton of money, and doctors and lawyers and all the typical things or whatever. And so I took this test, and I was devastated by the results, because it turns out that the only things that it said I would ever be good at was elementary school teacher, social worker, or pastor. And I looked at the salaries of those, and the combined salaries of those three occupations was less than the line right below it. Like, I was so discouraged. I'm like, oh no, this cannot be real. Well, I wasn't even a Christian at that point, but it turns out that a couple of years later, I gave my life to Jesus, and I fell in love with the church. And I will tell you guys, I love, love, love the church. Since I was 18 years old, I have always loved the church. My dream job when I gave my life to Christ, like the job that I wanted to do, but I never told any about, was to be a pastor. Like I always thought there's no way that I would ever be able to do that. But there, I just have loved the church since I was so young. And I just love everything about it. I love God's design for the church. I love the role of the church in the world. I love God's amazing purposes for the church. I love that there is like incredible unity in the midst of diversity in the wider body of Christ. Like I honestly love that I have brothers and sisters all over the world. I don't know if any of you guys have ever gotten a chance to go internationally on like a mission trip or go to a church somewhere, but you have brothers and sisters all over planet Earth. And the way that they worship sounds so different, and what they do is so different, and yet we are family to them, and they are family to us. And I just love this thing. It's one of the reasons why I love pastors. I love hanging out with pastors because I love the church. I just can't get enough of it. And one of the things that I really love about this church is I see that you guys, you know, are so dedicated. You guys have like poured your lives, many of you, into the life of this church. Like the space that this church occupies in your heart is a really big thing. Am I like bumping something here? Is that me? I'm probably doing something bad. Anyway, you guys have invested so much here, and I believe in my heart that to a really, really large degree, we are who we are because of you, because of what you've poured into this place, because of the ways that you guys have sacrificed your lives and offered yourselves and brought your full self here. And I just think there is a lot to love about Thrive. But I find myself wondering, could we get any more out of this thing? Like, is there more to be had? Is there more great stuff to experience? Are we a fully functioning church yet? And of course, the answer will always be no, we're not a fully functioning church. But I just wonder, are we just scratching the surface around here? Is there much, much more that we could experience? And again, I'm not necessarily talking about how much more you guys could give, but I want to talk about how much more we could be. How much more of God's kingdom we could experience, how much more love we could experience, how much more power, how much more unity, how much more joy, how much more healing could we experience in this place that God, quite honestly, has designed for us. And I think that in God's heart, there is more here than we have yet to experience or even imagine. And so today I want to kind of envision us for how we might function in actually greater power, greater presence of God, greater unity in this place. And it honestly amazed me that a couple of months ago we celebrated our 15th birthday, our 15th anniversary, especially given our humble beginnings. We started in our living room. Thrive began in our family room with a handful of adults and a handful of kids. And back then, if you would have said, you know, you'll still be doing this 15 years from now, I would have been like, wow, that's really cool. I wasn't sure if that would be the case or not. And I would like to think about what God has in store for us over the next 15 years. And what might it take? What would the pathway be for us to flourish and to grow and to thrive and to mature, so that we can not just be around in 15 years, but that we could be powerful and a place of God's kingdom and God's personality and God's will and his love being done here on earth as it is in heaven. And what I want to do is I want to challenge you guys that for us to be a growing, thriving church and for us to be growing, thriving believers, we're not just called to belong to the body of Christ. We're not just called to belong to a church, but we are called to, with God's help, to strengthen it, to build it, and to equip others for this precious work that we get to be a part of. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at one of the clearest, most awesome pictures of how the church was made to function, and it's found in one of Paul's letters to one of his churches, the first letter that he wrote to the church in Corinth. And so here in this instruction from Paul, we're going to see that Paul's going to use this analogy, and he's going to compare the body of Christ or the church with our human body, okay? And I believe that his instructions, to be honest with you guys, I believe that Paul's instructions, I know some of you guys already know the scripture that we're going to reference, but I believe that this challenge, this kind of like expose of what the functioning of the church ought to be like, I believe that it is more important today than it was on the day that Paul wrote it. I believe that it's more needful of us today than it was on the day that Paul wrote it. And so let's just jump in here and see what Paul has to say. So it's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. The human body, he says, has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. That's you and I. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free. But we all have been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. And if the foot says to the says, I am not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not a part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? No. If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? Now, do we think that Paul was kind of chuckling to himself as he was writing this, like envisioning the whole body as a nose or something, right? Anyway, he says, but our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. It is no accident. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye, and by the way, this is going to be my crucial verse for the rest of our time. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can never say to the feet, I don't need you. And I want you to do me a favor for a moment. I want you to imagine Paul's main point. What do you think? Just kind of figure it out for yourself. What do you think Paul's main thing is that he's trying to get at here? Kind of have that in your mind for a second. What's he trying to say? Here's what I think might be happening here. I don't think that Paul is teaching many of us something that we kind of haven't already known. I don't think he's teaching many of us anything that we kind of didn't already assume. It sounds like it's pretty much in keeping with what we already knew about God, what we already knew about the church, what God wants for us as a church. But I think he's doing something really, really important, and that is he is intensifying our perspective. We think it's like this, and he's saying, no, no, no. It is much more important than that. What you're doing is much more important than what you might think that you need. And so I have a little bit of an exercise for us here. I need 4 volunteers. You gotta be brave on this one, and we'll see if this turns out. I kind of thought this up, and this could go very, very badly. I should have you guys sign waivers for this. But can I get 4 volunteers? There's 1. There's 2. I need a woman. There's 3. There's 4. Okay. All 4 of you guys, come on up here. One of you needs a phone. Okay. All right. You're going to be my phone guy. That's fine. Okay. This is going to be crazy. We'll see if this turns out. Okay. So here's what we're going to do. I have little pieces of paper here. You're going to be my timer. Can you start a timer for me? All right. So I'm going to go with, you're going to be, what does that say? Say it really loud.
Right hand.
It says right hand. I'm going to be really tough on you, Joel. What does yours say?
2 eyes.
It says 2 eyes. It says right hand. Yours says 2 eyes. And yours is?
1 foot.
1 foot. That's what I'm taking away from you. So what I want you to do is I want you to find a seat. I want you to write, there's notepads, you know, in the bottom of the pews, and I want you to write down, I love the church, and I want you to bring it back to me. But whatever it is that you have to do without, you have to do this task without that. Does that make sense? So find a spot. Should we switch yours with John? All right, here, give yours to John. Okay, so you're going to time this, okay? So all of you guys go back to a seat. You don't have to go. Just find a spot. But you're going to need to get the notepad. You need to write down, I love the church. You need to bring it back up here in some amount of time. We'll see how long it takes without the use of whatever it is that is in your hand. Make sense? Well, no, just go to your seats. We'll start the timer when you get there. All right. You can walk now. Just got to, are you practicing? No, just go. Just go. Go get, you got to write down something on a notepad. Go sit down somewhere. No. You write it. So you write down, I love the church. You bring that message to me
without the
use of your foot.
But I can go there with my foot.
Yes, go there with your foot. Go, Karen, go. Okay. All right, here we go. Are you ready? Wait, John. Start over, bro. He's already writing, this guy. Are you left-handed? All right, switch it. You got to go to the right hand. I thought I would catch a right-hander. What are the odds of that? Okay. Is our timer ready?
Yes.
Go. Did you already do it?
I did.
All right, well, just come on up. Don't hurt yourself, please. Somebody might need to help Joel.
Yes.
Good job. Good job, Karen. Okay, watch out. He's coming. Watch yourself. Okay, get up. There you go. All right, good job. All right, you guys are done. Good job. All right. Take your notepads back. How long did that take?
21 seconds, 22 seconds, and I didn't press the lap button, so 30 seconds.
Okay, all right. All right, you guys go back to your chairs. All right, hold on 1 second. One more time. Here, so Nathan, you're going to stay here. All right, guys, I'm giving you back all your parts. You ready? Do it again. Go. She already wrote it. Karen's cheating. Good job, Karen. All right, here comes another. And he's putting something down. Thank you. All right. How long did that take?
5 seconds, 8 seconds, and then, 12.
All right. Good job, guys. Woo! Give it up for him. All right. I mostly did that for my amusement. But here's the point. That was the simplest of tasks, was it not, right? Something that any of us can do in our sleep. And it was not easily done when one simple part of their body was removed, but it went exponentially quicker when they had all of them available to do this simple task. And I want to kind of help us to understand that if it is a challenge to do something as simple as write a simple phrase and walk it 15 feet up here, how challenging is it for the church to manifest the glory of God and the personality of God, to accomplish God's purpose on earth, to bring his kingdom, to seek and save the lost, to heal the sick, to transform the poor? What would be required to do that without all of the parts at work? And what I want us to see is that you, all of you, are desperately needed for this kingdom call that is on us as a church. And it is sad, and it is shocking to me, quite honestly, to see that more and more often there is this treacherous idea that a person can be a Christian and a growing Christian without needing the body of Christ and without being needed by the body of Christ. And the reality is that it has never been true that you can be a growing follower of Jesus and be separated from the body. Now, some people may believe that it is not God's heart, it is not his will, and it is not a key to a thriving life for any of us. You guys with me on that? And so what I see Paul doing here is he is actually, when he says you are a part of one body and the foot can never say to the hand, I don't need you and you don't need me. What Paul is trying to do is he's trying to take all of us that are regular church attenders, and he's trying to intensify our understanding. He's trying to get us to believe that we must be a part of the body. We must be connected. And we must give ourselves to the body because someone around here needs us. And what I want to do is I want to kind of try to move us towards a next step of spiritual maturity. And what I want to say, you guys, is that immaturity says, I don't need you. And maturity says that we need one another. As a matter of fact, immaturity says I could be independent, but maturity is all about embracing interdependence. Interdependence. We are not trying to create independent Christians here, which I think is sort of interesting because I've got my oldest kid here, and Molly and I, as parents, we're trying to create independent young adults, right? We don't want our kids moving back into the house when they're 40, right? That's like not what we want. We want them to be able to stand on their 2 feet. But quite the opposite here at church, as parents here at Thrive, we're trying to call us to an interdependence where we believe in our hearts that we need one another. We have to have it. And I just wonder, how does that hit you? How does that hit you? Do you want to need the people in this room? Or would you prefer to benefit from them but not need them, right? Because I have to tell you, I don't want to need you. I don't. And the reason I don't want to need you is because what if you let me down? What if I need you and you don't show up for me? What if I need you and you fail me? We have all experienced that pain, haven't we? We've all experienced the pain of needing someone to show up and they didn't show up for us. And what I fear happens, and what I believe happens, is that we have been taught a lesson that we don't even realize we learn. And that is that when we need someone and we rely on someone that isn't faithful to us, we begin to make a vow in our hearts. And the vow is, I can't trust them and I don't want to need them anymore. And so I'm going to take care of myself. And whether we have kind of overtly believed that or chosen that, or it's subconscious, that happens too often where we say, I don't want to need anybody. And I'll be honest with you guys, I don't think you guys want to need me either. Because what if I say something that you don't like? What if I push you in a way that you don't like? What if I don't agree with you politically? What if I have a theology and you have a slightly different theology? What if I don't show up for you? It's hard to need one another. We don't want that. It's very humbling, isn't it, to need someone, to not have enough to make our own ways in life. And that's why God would say to us, the eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can never say to the feet, I don't need you. And I believe that collectively we become humbled in that. It is a humbling thing to be in need, and yet that's where God positions us. And yet, at the same time, I also know that many of us in this room, we have experienced the blessing and the joy of being in a place where we all need one another and we all show up for one another. And one thing that I know is that you guys don't come here just to take in a really good worship set. You don't come here to take in a teaching as if that was the only thing that was happening around here. You come here to be touched by one another. You come here for each other. You come here to get and to give encouragement. You come here to get and give wisdom. You come here. There's my picture of somebody getting a hug. I kind of have determined that I get at least 80% of all of my weekly hugs right here in this room on Sunday morning. What percentage of your weekly hugs do you get on a Sunday morning, right? We need one another. You don't just come here to take some stuff in, to take some content in. You come here to be a part of something that is bigger than you. And I don't know what all the reasons why you come here, but certainly God is doing something greater, and we need each other for more than just you guys lining up to get a drip of something that the leadership team here might give. And so Paul challenges us to need one another. It's not optional. And if I were to say to you, hey, I want to take one part of your body, but I'll just take the pinky toe, would you have a strong opinion on that, or would you go, pinky toe, who needs it? Right? That in the same way that we all want pinky toes, Paul is saying we need every part of the body at work here. And not only do we need every part to be present, but we need every part to be active. Every part of the body must be active and not passive. Again, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the foot, I don't need you. They are all needed because you bring something of God and you bring something unique into this place. I have received ministry from so many of you guys. I've received encouragement from so many of you guys. Everything that God is doing is unique, and it is needful for myself, for Molly, and for everybody else that is in this room. You bring something special, a special gift, a special life experience, a special personality. And I love what Abraham Lincoln said. I've often thought about this. Lincoln said, whatever you are, be a good one. Whatever you are. Whatever your spiritual gift is, whatever your personality is, whatever your talents are, whatever it is that you've got going on, whatever you've learned in life, bring it and be a good one. And so if you're a foot, be footy. If you're a hand, be handsy. No, don't be handsy. Be handy. Be handy, right? Don't be handsy. If you're an eye, be see-y. I don't know what it is. Whatever. But here's the truth, your gifts, your talents, your treasures, your wisdom, your physical bodies are needed in this place, and nobody at Thrive gets to sit on the sidelines for very long. Some people come and they're banged up and they're hurt and they're wounded, and we just want to love on them and pour into them, but for pretty soon, we will start to encourage you to be the eye or the foot or the elbow that you are, because when we are all doing that, we all thrive. When we're doing that, life gets so good around here. We start to reflect God's kingdom in a really, really powerful way. Does that make sense, you guys? Now, in the same way as Paul is sort of saying, hey, be engaged, I want us to see that life gets so amazing, but I know that we're all on a continuum. And I have this kind of a pathway that I see all of us on. And what I want to do is I want to spend the rest of our time, I just want to encourage you to a little bit of growth. I want to encourage you to move towards maturity, move towards a next step with the Lord. And so here's kind of a pathway. And what I want to do is I want you to plot yourself on this little pathway, okay? So if you could give me my arrows slide there for me. All right, so here's what I'm seeing for people in regards to their relationship with the church. So it begins with connecting. Then we move to consuming. And I know that oftentimes I preach against consumer mentality. I'm going to preach for it today. So we move from connecting to consuming to contributing and finally to cultivating. And again, as I'm kind of elaborating on what this looks like, what I would encourage you to do is find yourself in this continuum. And so we're going to start with connecting. We all begin our spiritual journeys with Jesus. And we connect with him first, but very, very quickly, we are called to, invited to connect with the body of Christ, to connect with the church. There are no lone rangers in Christianity, right? And so what I want to encourage us to do is if you are in that place where you are new to Thrive or you're new to faith and your connection with the body of Christ has been spotty, what I would encourage you to do is to maybe just open your heart up to make a connection, to start showing up on a regular basis. The author of Hebrews said, don't give up coming to church. Keep coming. Keep showing up. And I actually say this all the time. I actually shared this with someone last week. I believe because I've been in ministry for more than 2 decades, one of the things that I've noticed is that if you just show up, God does the rest. All you have to do is show up and God will change your life. That is 95% of it, just showing up. He takes it from there. And so I just would encourage you that maybe you're in a place in your life where connection with the body of Christ, connection in the church has been sort of spotty. And I want to say, we need you. You need us. And all I ask is that you show up and God will do the rest. That's kind of phase one. So maybe some of you are there. Here's the next thing that I believe that God wants us to do, and that is to consume. Consuming means that we, you know what? God wants you guys strong. He wants you whole. He wants you filled. He wants you energetic. He doesn't want you depleted. And God is doing so many amazing things here at Thrive, and he has a strong desire that you would come and you would receive from what God is doing here. Our worship time this morning for me was edifying. I was receiving from that time. We have small groups that get together. I was just talking to Ryan. He was talking about a group of people that he meets with, and it strengthens him. Come here and let somebody pray over you. And in some ways, I would encourage you to be a little bit, I don't know, like selfish, to be a little bit hungry, to say, I'm coming because I need to be built up. I need to be strengthened. If you come here to get filled, that is awesome. And we want that for you. We have a prayer training after church. Come and receive from that. Come and grow. Does that make sense, you guys? Are you with me on this? It is important to be desirous. It's important to want to get filled up. So show up here and get plugged into the things that God is offering you so that you can grow in your spiritual journey. And so it begins with connecting, faithfully connecting. We move to that space of consuming. But of course, if we stopped there, if all we ever did is consume, I think in about 2 months, nobody would be able to consume anything because there'd be nobody there to offer anything, right? And so we can't stop at consuming. We have to move to contributing, right? And I think you guys understand contributing. And I am so thankful. I am so proud of this church because it is like almost everybody here is contributing somehow. And I am so thankful for who you guys are. But I tell people, like, the way that Molly and I see Thrive is we're a family. Like, I don't want to be a corporation. I don't want to be an enterprise. I don't know what the other, you know, words are that would describe a group of people. But I want us to feel like family. And as a part of the family, there are just chores to do, right? Chores that make life around the family really, really nice. And so I encourage people, like, hey, your life's mission may not be to set out food for hospitality, But you know what? That food makes life really great around here. Your spiritual gift may not be to be on the welcome team at the front door with me, but you know what? If you can be friendly and bubbly and welcome people in, that makes life around here really good, and it helps people outside the walls of this church to feel loved, right? There are all kinds of things that we need around here to make Thrive thrive that may not be like exactly what you want to do, but without it, we're not going to be a good church, are we? But there's this whole other category. God also gave you spiritual gifts. He put a deposit of his spirit inside you. There is something supernatural at work in your life. And when you start to operate in that spiritual gift of yours, things get really awesome around here because God begins to be poured out. And I have seen God pour out his presence through the spiritual gifts that are in this room. And it is a game changer. It is a game changer when we know our gifts and we operate in our gifts. And if you don't know what your gift is, we will help you to understand your spiritual gift. But my ask is that you would not only identify your gift, but that you would put it to work. Because those gifts were made, actually the Bible says that they were made to edify the body of Christ. That means to build the church. You have something in here, in your heart, that we need to build this church. And so we contribute. Now, if we were just doing the first three, if we had people that were really, really good at connecting, they just showed up on a really, really regular basis, that would be amazing. If then we had people that were engaged, and they were a part of all the great things that God were doing here, that would be super cool. And then if we had you guys contributing with your gifts and your talents and just your bodies, how great would it be at Thrive, right? But yet, there is so much more because things that are alive were meant to grow and they were meant to multiply. And we will not grow and we will not multiply unless we learn to cultivate in other people what God has put into us. And this is where I see, quite honestly, a lot of you guys. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13 says this. Think about this. Paul said, Christ himself... These are spiritual gifts, by the way. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service, to equip them so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and we become mature. And this is just sort of a great kind of challenge to us. Our future vibrance is dependent upon our willingness and our dedication to equip others around us. And I wonder if you guys could just imagine, what would Thrive be like if almost all of us learned how to regularly pour into one another the stuff that God has poured into you? Because I promise you, you have a spiritual gift that is needed, and it's like supernatural. You have life experience. You have wisdom. You have all of this like just great stuff that God has poured into your life, and there are people around here that would benefit from you speaking into them, from you training them and raising them up. And I know, you guys, that this can be hard. I find myself often disqualifying myself, thinking like, man, I don't know if I have anything really powerful to offer this person. And so I shy away from it sometimes, even as a pastor. Some of you guys might know, but Molly and I are, we're area leaders in the Vineyard, which means that we're responsible for the care of about 8 other Vineyard churches, right? And every one of those churches is older than Thrive. They've been on planet Earth longer than Thrive. Every one of those pastors are older than Molly and I. They're all wiser than we are at some level. And I find myself, as I'm trying to lead this group of people, I find myself going, do I have anything to offer these guys? Do I have anything that's going to be worthwhile? And yet, I challenge myself to give myself away, to pour into them, trusting that God will work in it. And I want to challenge you that you have things in you that someone around here needs. And so here's how it might look. Maybe you're on the prayer team. and you know somebody that just is like kind of out there trying to figure out what to do with themselves, you might say to them, hey, come with me after church when I pray for this person and watch how I do it. Let's pray together and we could talk about it afterwards. If you're on the hospitality team, say, hey, I could use a wingman. Would you be up for grabbing some donuts and hanging out with me downstairs when we lay out the hospitality? Maybe it's like kids ministry. Of course, if you're going to invite someone to help you at kids ministry, get JJ's permission first. But invite someone to come with you. If you're a prayer person, you know, intercession, invite someone else to join you in intercession. You have stuff to give. And when we start to speak into and raise up people around us, can you see how Thrive will begin to just get powerful? It's going to be amazing around here. And so the last thing I want to share with you guys that might be helpful in this regard is something that we've talked about. Molly, I think, talked about it. I've shared it maybe once or twice. Excuse me. And that is one thing that we can all do on a regular basis to pour into and raise up people around us is what we call our I see in you conversations. Do you guys remember that phrase, I see in you? Do we have a slide for that or no? I didn't make a slide on that. Would you put a slide? No, I'm just kidding. Okay, that one might be on me. So I see in you, the literal letters, I-C-N-U, but it stands for what I see in you. And I will tell you guys that these messages of here's what I see in you are so powerful. Have you been the recipient of someone ever saying, hey, I see this amazing thing in you. I see the character of God in you. I see just a real gift of prayer in you. I see so much wisdom in you. Have you been the recipient of somebody speaking into your life saying, man, you are a leader. You're a preacher. You're a worship. You know what I mean? Like, have you had that? Have you? If you haven't, that's a problem. That means we're not doing our job. But those conversations, those simple messages of this is what I see in you, those are life-changing. And it might feel small to us when we say, this is what I see in you, but it is huge to the person receiving it. I remember when Molly and I were back at the Elgin Vineyard and we were trying to figure out, like, you know, do we, like, might God be calling us to start a new church? And I had no interest in starting a new church. Like, I was so happy at the Elgin Vineyard. Like, my job was easy. Everybody loved me. And I was young. And I felt like I was so immature. Like, when there was, like, this regional overseer guy that would say, hey, are you going to start a new church? I'd be like, no way, man. And he would just turn around and walk away. The conversation was over. He had no interest in me after that, right? But God started to, like, stir up our hearts. But I kept disqualifying myself. I thought, I will never be holy enough. I will never be wise enough. I will never be mature enough to be able to lead a group of people. And I remember having this conversation with Tom Severson, who's the senior pastor there. And I said, Tom, I don't know, but it feels like maybe we're supposed to start a new church, but I don't know if I can do that. And Tom said, and I will never forget it, Tom said, you could do this in your sleep. He said, you could do it in your sleep. And that sort of cavalier confidence that he had in me made me believe, well, maybe I could. Maybe I could. And when you speak into someone's life around here or outside of the walls of this place, you give people a message. I think it's one of the closest things that we can have to speaking God's voice over people. Can you sense how powerful that can be? And so maybe what we do to cultivate around here, to impart, to train up people around here, is just to make a regular habit of looking at people and saying, this is what I see in you. This is where I see God at work in you. I believe in you. You could do this thing in your sleep. And when we do that, I believe the kingdom multiplies. And so I'm going to close with this. I'm going to close with an I see in you conversation. And I know that there are some in here that are new to Thrive. I know that we're all in different spaces and places in our journey. But when I look at you guys, I see in you a group of people that are so dedicated to the Lord. You're so dedicated to his kingdom. You're so dedicated to building the church. You know, if you want to talk about the church being a body, you got a great body. all of you guys. I am so thankful for you. You guys have wisdom. You have faith. You believe God for the deeper things. You step into places of risk. You guys sacrifice yourselves for the good of the church, for the honor of God, for the building up and the healing of people. That's who you are. I am in awe of how God has worked in this place through your lives. I'm serious. I believe in you. I'm so thankful for you guys. That's why I left the first service like so happy, because of who you guys are and what you are doing and how you manifest your faith in Jesus Christ. And so I'm preaching to the choir here, but I want to encourage you to release yourself into this ministry. Give yourself to the church. Build each other up. Strengthen one another. Keep going with this, and God is going to do a marvelous thing in this place. We'll be in awe. We'll be in love with what God is doing in this place over the next many years. Does that make sense? Why don't we stand up?